Please do be seated. I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, what a jolly set of readings this morning. It's almost as if there's sort of a sting in the tail of each of the readings, because the reading from Isaiah starts out and it's a song about a vineyard. And the vineyard, very often in the Old Testament, is a metaphor for a bride. So we start off and, oh, it's going to be a nice wedding song. That'll be nice. That'll be gentle. And then it is a love song of sorts, but it just turns into a lament for Judah in terms of, you know, the wasteland and the desolation and the destruction. And he looks for righteousness and all he sees is blood, and it's not very pleasant. And then in Hebrews it starts off, and it's really good. You know, we hear the stories about the heroes and of the kings and of the judges and of the great spiritual greats, and it's, whoa, this is good stuff. And then it descends into people being stoned and sawn in half and killed and jeered at, and you, whoa, this is not very nice either. And then in Luke, it talks off about peace and baptism, which all sounds very gentle. And then he talks about fire and brimstone and bringing division, and it's kind of gone off track again. And they're the sort of passages where if somebody just came up to you and said, could you explain a little bit about, you know, the Christian faith and gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and you wouldn't start here. You know, it's almost like, you know, it'd be quite convenient if these passages, you know, if the pages had got lost when they were, you know, the Synod of Whitby were, you know, putting the Bible together or agreeing the canon. You know, it's like, please, you know, it's, and but we have to make sense of them because they are in the Bible, and the passage from Luke is all the more strange as well, because peace is one of the key themes that goes throughout Luke's gospel. Zechariah, when he's talking about John the Baptist and the coming of the Messiah, says that our feet will be guided in the ways of peace. The angels, when they're announcing to the shepherds in Luke about the coming Messiah, talk about peace on earth. Simeon, when he's holding the baby Christ, says, now let your servant depart in peace. So the gospel starts off with peace. And then it changes into, what is this? And, you know, maybe this should be in the lesson of Nine Lessons and Carols at Christmas. You know, this doesn't fit. What we see in Luke, and as we've seen in the last few weeks, is that Jesus is now on his way to Jerusalem. And as he's on his way to Jerusalem, increasingly, Luke portrays him as a prophet. And therefore, it's not surprising in this particular passage that Jesus is using prophetic language. And when he's talking about the baptism, he's talking about the baptism that he will undergo, the baptism of crucifixion and ultimately resurrection and his ascension. But he's talking about the baptism that will bring about the new creation that God brings. When he talks about peace, he's talking about the prophet's peace. He's actually quoting here from a passage in Micah, chapter 7, verse 6. Where Micah talks, when he's lamenting over Jerusalem and Samaria, he says that a father will be set against his son, and a son against his father. You know, a daughter will be against her mother, and a mother against the daughter. And Jesus is using exactly that language. You know, it's almost like, you know, the soap operas of today, it sounds like. So I'm told, I don't watch soap operas. But, you know, where honesty and integrity and decency have just gone out of the window. Jesus is drawing on that analogy, drawing on those words, drawing on that picture from Micah as he heads towards Jerusalem. Because just as it was for Israel and Judah, Jerusalem and Samaria, there are decisions to be made, and there are consequences of those decisions. And that's the point that Jesus is making when he talks about bringing division. The peace that he brings is a prophet's peace, where there are decisions to be made and there are consequences of those decisions. Just as Israel found out, just as Judah found out, as they had turned from God and did not recognize the God that was present with them, there were consequences to those decisions. That's why Jesus says in Luke, you know how to interpret the sign of the times, but you cannot see, apparently, what is before you. You cannot see God personified in front of your very eyes. If you think back to everything that has happened, everything that I've done, it's as if he's saying, the people who've been set free, the people who have been healed, the revelation of God that has been, and you still don't see it. And he's saying, there are decisions to be made and consequences of those decisions. It's no good, if you like, just relying on the Jewish law. It's no good, perhaps, relying on the occupying Roman authorities for that peace. That's the theme that is picked up in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is like almost a parallel to the book of Romans. Hebrews is written, it's probably one of the later epistles, not written by Paul, but probably written around AD 60, something like that, probably before the fall of the temple. And maybe the writer of the book of Hebrews is looking and seeing the tension and knows that relying on the law, relying on the Romans, really is not a good plan. Jesus offers peace, but there are decisions to be made so that we and they can accept that peace and live in the consequences of those decisions. And that's what the writer of the book of Hebrews is pulling out. That's the point that he's making about, here are the heroes of our faith. What they did was not focus on the immediate. They didn't focus on the structures. What they did was look at the longer term. We saw, I think it was last week, you know, faith is a mixture of our experience of the past and our hope of the future to come. The writer of the Hebrews exhorts them not to go back to their, if you like, their comfort zone. They were very familiar with the Jewish ways of the synagogue and the temple. They were familiar with the law and the security, apparently, that gave them. And he's saying, fix your eyes on Christ. Cast off those things which will hinder you as you run the race for Christ. Cast off those things which will stop you accepting the peace which Christ offers. And in our lives, we sometimes feel that we miss maybe some of that inner peace that we so often yearn. And we know that that's the peace that Christ offers and actually genuinely does offer to all. Just as for the Hebrews, just as for the people in Luke, just as for the people of the Old Testament, we too have decisions to make that will have consequences. Decisions about what is it that we want to cast aside in our lives that stops us running that race with Christ as we would want it and as God himself would want it through Christ. What are the things that hinder us? Jesus offers us peace. Peace is indeed within us. But as we reach out to grasp and hold on to that peace, the peace which God offers, there are things which we need to let go of in order that we can hold on to that peace and know more and more fully the peace which God offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.